I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys radio program on your favorite network. And today it is all about pizza. So we're going to talk about making a crust, maybe what kind of sauces are good. One thing I've never done, Shasta, and I'm joined by Shasta from Old World Olive Company. Corey's in the back doing sign language. I just wonder, have you ever tried making sauce?
Oh, yes.
I never have.
Okay, so don't be intimidated by that. It's a good way to get your vegetables in there, and you don't even know. You can throw some celery and some carrots and, you know, blend that up nicely, and you're going to get some extra dose of vitamins. You could use a jarred sauce, but you know what's in your own when you make it.
Well, I do a lot of I roast a lot of tomatoes, and what I'll do very often is not use a sauce, and I'll throw the roasted tomatoes on, and I'll put some of your garlic or your Tuscan EVO
sure.
on top of the crust.
Yeah,
and then put I love having. Different types of vegetables on there and some good Italian sausage.
Right.
But artichokes in particular.
I love artichokes on a pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love artichokes in general. But, Tuscan is a really good oil to use if you don't want a red sauce or you just want something that's a little bit different than what a typical pizza would be. You can use that really as your base. And
so let's back up just a second. And we're talking about olive oils. And I think a lot of people still don't maybe necessarily understand some of the categories or classifications or why you would want to have an extra virgin olive oil. And, give us the breakdown on how your business seems to sell so much oil when there are giant box stores selling oil at half the price.
Sure. And that's a really good thing to talk about. So we focus on small batches. We don't focus on pressing and getting the quantity necessarily. We want quality. And so that equates to smaller farms, smaller estates. And we are more focused on making sure that the quality of the oil is still intact and is there versus being able to produce a mass mob of an oil. And so, you'll find some places that you'll see cans of oil or big, jugs of oil. And it's hard to really tell where those have come from, how long those were on a boat trying to get here, how long they sat in someone's warehouse, how long they've been on the shelf that you're going to buy it from. And so with us, we're able to dial back exactly which farmer crushed that oil, what time, how it was harvested, and when it was shipped out to us.
So what percentage of the oil you buy comes from, like, America, California, it'd be, I guess?
Well, we switch with the hemispheres. So right now we're wrapping up the southern hemisphere, and then usually
would that be like Chile?
Yeah, Chile. We're getting some from Greece right now. We, a while back, had one from Israel, which was a really interesting oil for us. Turkey. And then, towards the end of the year, then the other hemisphere starts to produce, and then those are the oils that we pull. And that would lend us more to, like, California. They make an excellent arbequina oil, which is a type of olive.
Arbequina.
Yes, one of my favorites.
One of the oils I love buying at your shop is the Tuscan.
Yes.
I mean, Tunisian. Harissa.
Tunisian, okay.
The Harissa.
Yeah.
I don't know that would be a pizza oil necessarily, unless you were going with something spicy, but that is just a fantastic oil.
Yeah, it's a very complex oil. It's got your typical Indian African type spices in it, and it's got a little bit of back end heat. I think it would be great on a pizza with some sausage and your artichokes. You could do that. It's one that if you like something that has a little bit of heat to it, that's a great oil for that.
So basically, the reason your oils taste so much better is because they're fresher.
They're fresher.
So there's a lot of the stuff. The bulk stuff, is it just get old in shipping containers or what?
It does. And in fact, there was, I think it was about a year or two ago, a whole episode on the Today Show, and it was talking about the olive oils that come into the U.S. And here we don't necessarily have a regulatory system like what they have, overseas.
Because it's such a big deal to them.
It's such a big deal to them, and it's a very very regulated category.
Don't you think Americans tend to count on the FDA for all that stuff?
They sure do.
And that's the problem.
And that's part of the problem.
It is. Because a lot of our foods, the way they're made, because of the FDA, they can't even sell them in Europe.
Right.
We put so many four-syllable concoctions in our food that Europeans won't eat it. They won't buy it.
And there's something to be said. You know, you look at the length of life that the Mediterranean culture follows, mm-hmm. and their lifespan and their health is just way different than ours here in America. And I think there's something to be said about the amount of olive oil that they consume in their daily diet.
I think the two-hour lunch break is nice, too, though.
Well, the red wine, you know, that glass or two of red wine a day that they have, maybe that does something. So.
Shoot, now I feel naked. I should have brought some wine. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network, and we are talking about pizzas on the grill with Shasta and Corey from Old World Olive Company, which is one of our longtime sponsors. And I think I've told you before, but when you guys stepped into our business, you changed a lot of my cooking methods. You just impacted, I guess, my judgment in so many ways.
Oh, man, that can be good or bad.
I think your husband has. Your husband probably has.
Yeah.
No, but it's... You know, now I'm such a freak about the oils. And I love the balsamics, too. I use them all the time, especially the 18-year and the grapefruit. Those are my go-tos. But the oils in particular, because there's oil in like everything you make.
Right.
So I guess if I have to use vegetable oil, I get all bitchy.
Yeah. Yeah. I try to, as much as I possibly can, omit the vegetable oil and use extra virgin. And there are just, you know, there are some applications where it just doesn't make sense to do that. But
Like if I'm making shish kebabs for 30 or 40 people, I'm just going to throw the Crisco in there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to use the really good oil because they won't notice.
My arteries are wincing right now, but...
Yeah, but they're only at the house for a few hours.
Yeah, right. True.
I feed the masses a lot.
Yeah, you do.
So sometimes I have to go with the budget things. But
you don't mess around with your food.
No. So let's talk a little bit more about building that perfect pizza for the grill. So we talked about heating the stone up.
Mm-hmm, very important.
Heating your smoker up, your grill. And even if it's a gas grill, you can get the same effect.
Right. You sure can.
The beauty of a pizza stone is you can set it right over your flames.
Yep.
And
get that solid,
get a great effect.
Heat. Yeah.
Let's say you've got an older, cheaper grill and your flame distribution's off. That's 60% of the people listening.
Right. Right.
The pizza stone is just going to balance everything out.
Yep. It makes sure it's almost like the concept of a convection oven.
Right.
It just keeps that solid temperature. And if you can get that pizza stone in there and get that stone warmed up to that 550 temperature, you're going to have a great pizza crust every time.
I'm cooking on charcoal almost all the time.
I love charcoal.
I use my big Cajun grill.
Sure.
And, matter of fact, I think I had the burgers on there. I streamed it last weekend when I was doing the burgers because, I don't know, I'm just a freak. I love looking at food. And people jump on right off the bat and they're like, oh, I can see them jumping onto the live stream. But years ago, when I started playing around with the pizza stone, Maureen makes a wonderful meatloaf. And I said, let me put that on the grill.
Oh, that's probably
and
good.
And so I put it on the grill. I put the pizza stone on my old gas grill years ago, and I did that meatloaf on the pizza stone on the grill, and I threw some smoke on it.
Wow.
And it was my new favorite, to the point where Pat Ringler up at Chase Creek Smokehouse heard that show, and he tried it himself.
No kidding.
And it turned into a mainstay of their business. It was they have smoked meatloaf all the time now.
That's awesome.
Because it's just so good.
Did he put your name on it?
No.
Did he say it's the grilling guys?
No, it's okay. He treats me very well. But anyway, we will talk about pizza a little bit more, and we'll be right back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.